This program originally aired in 2004.
Hi, I'm Marian McPartland. My guest today is trumpeter Terence Blanchard, a consummate musician and composer. During the past 20 years, he's established himself as one of the most influential jazz figures of his generation. Hi, how are you, Clint?
Fine, how you doing?
I'm just fine. Yeah. It's good to see you.
Oh, it's good to see you, too. It's great to be here.
What has been going on since I last saw you? So much is happening.
Yeah, there's been a lot of things going on. I've started teaching. I teach now at the Thelonious Monk Institute of Jazz at USC. Put out a new CD, a few CDs since the last time I saw you. And I've just been continuing my career as a film composer. But the most fun that I've been having is actually as a performer. I have a great band right now. We've been having great times on the road playing music.
Well, your band is really... I guess this is the new record, mm-hmm. Bounce.
Yes.
And the tunes and the way you play and the whole group, I just think it's a wonderful album.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very
and
much.
And such a variety of tunes. Mm-hmm. And they're all like stars. You know,
yeah, they're very talented. I've been very lucky with these guys. The guys who made the CD... Eric Holland on drums, Brandon Owen on bass, Bryce Winston on tenor saxophone, Robert Glasper keyboards, and Leonel Awake on the guitar. These guys are very talented guys, and they have a very distinct idea about what they want to do, where they're going, and I just allowed them to do that, you know. And while I had them in the group. We just played nightly. We tried a lot of different things. And the record is a result of all of those things that we were doing on the road.
Well, we could talk about the band and the music, but I'm dying to hear you play something.
I'm dying to play with you, too.
And we happen to have wonderful bassist with us today, Gary Mazzarapi. So let's do a tune. What'll we do?
Let's do No Greater Love. It's a nice tune.
It's a good tune.
Yes. Okay.
How can it be bad? I was just thinking, you're from New Orleans, aren't you?
Yes, yes, I am.
Is that where you grew up?
Born and raised, yes. Spent all of my junior years there. I left when I was 18, though. As soon as I was able to leave, I went to college at Rutgers University. I was there for about a year and a half, and then I started playing with Art Blakey when I was 19.
Is that who you started with, Art Blakey?
Actually, while I was in college, I got a chance to play with Lionel Hampton. So, because he mainly played on the weekends, so I could go on the road with him and do some gigs and then come back and still have time to go to class.
Boy, that was neat that you were able to do that.
I was lucky. I was lucky. Sometimes I created some problems because sometimes Sunday nights, man, I couldn't catch that bus. I would miss that last bus coming back to New Brunswick. So I'd wind up getting in like Monday morning, and I had, for some reason on Monday, I had an 8 o'clock creative writing class.
Oh, goodness.
8 o'clock every morning. I mean, every Monday.
Well, that's where you got all your ideas for your later on your film writing.
Well, it's interesting how things work out in your life. I studied composition when I was a kid, and I always wanted to arrange. But my thing was, you know, doing arrangements for larger jazz ensembles. And it's kind of fascinating to me that this whole film career has kind of opened itself to me. Because inadvertently, I've been preparing myself for it in a way, even though I was trying to do something
else. You sort of subconsciously knew that was the thing you wanted to do.
Yeah, I've always had an interest in creating different colors and tones with larger ensembles. I find that fascinating. You know, when one of my favorite records is Miles Davis' Poor Game Best. You know, that's
one of mine too.
Yeah. And it's amazing how those guys created all of those different tones, you know, with those instruments and saw them in different ways and used them in unusual ways.
Well, when you were learning the horn, you had a teacher in high school or?
Yes, George Jensen was his name. I started studying with him junior year in high school.
Did you know that the horn, well, what came first, the piano or the horn?
It's interesting, the chicken or the egg.
Yes, yeah.
Actually, the piano came first because my grandmother had a piano, and I would go whenever I was at her house. I was always trying to play Batman because that was my favorite cartoon, my favorite show at the time, and I would always try to play Batman on the piano. I didn't know how to play, but I was banging out the rhythm, and they got tired of hearing all of that stuff. So my dad said, "We need to get that boy some lessons." And they started me taking piano lessons when I was 5 years old.
Wow.
And I could never miss a lesson because the teacher lived right next door. Martha Francis. And it was great. It was really great. And when I was in fourth grade in elementary school, there was a local jazz musician by the name of Alvin Alcorn. He was a trumpet player, great trumpet player. He came to my elementary school just to give a demonstration on New Orleans traditional style, the traditional style of jazz that was played in New Orleans. And when he came in with the band, the only thing I heard, Marin, was the trumpet. That was it. It was something about the way he used vibrato, something about the way he could bend the notes. It had a very vocal quality to it. And I remember going home that day, and my dad had just rented a piano for us at our home. And I went home that day, and I said, "Dad, I want to play the trumpet." And he wasn't too happy at the time.
But he did give in and get you one.
Yes, he did. Yeah, because my father was a music lover. You know, he studied opera and wanted to be an opera singer, but it didn't work out for him. But he was always a big fan of music. So
let's go ahead and do another tune because
sure.
I'm just eager to hear some more. What should we do?
Well, since we've been talking about the voice, why don't we do a ballad? Why don't we do "I Thought About You"?
That's a great tune.
I love that tune.
Okay. I love that tune. I never played it that slow. It's nice as a ballad.
Yes, it's a nice tune. Yeah, I fell in love with it the first time I heard Miles Davis play it. And I was scared to play it for a long
time. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Miles is one of your favorites.
Oh, definitely. He's one of my heroes.
Who else is one of your heroes?
Oh, man. Clark Terry, Woody Shaw, Freddie Hubbard, Dizzy Gillespie, all of them. Clifford Brown. I'm just amazed that, you know, how you have so many guys play the same instrument and develop so many different styles. That's the thing I think that fascinates me the most about all of those guys.
Well, among your many movie successes, you worked with Spike Lee, right?
Yes.
What's he like?
He's very much like a jazz musician. He's a very, creative guy. He's an extremely well-versed guy in his craft. You know, one of the things that amazes me about working with him is that when we start talking about scores, you know, he'll run down the list of great scores and great composers. He's a real historian of his craft. And he's a visionary. He's really helped stretch my creative abilities a bit, because when I first started working with him, the first thing he told me, he said, look, I don't want traditional film music in my films. You know, he says, I want music that's going to have melodic content that can stand on its own away from the film and support the film at the same time.
Well, I've got to hear more, but meanwhile, let's play another tune.
Sure.
We've got Caravan, and I would really like to play that with you.
I'd love to play that with you, too. Yes. Okay. Let's have at it.
All right. Count it off.
To hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina Public Radio.